Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back to yet another edition of the Kona Edge, coming to you from a very sunny Cape Town in South Africa. We head to Vancouver in Canada now, and welcome back, Steph Corker. Steph, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brad. I'd like to let you know that it's very sunny here in Vancouver, British Columbia as well. So from sunshine to sunshine.
That's what I like
to
hear.
That's what I like to hear.
Steph, let's talk running. I'm looking at some of your run splits, and you're a monster on the run. You're fantastic. It must be pretty, like, confidence building, getting off the bike, knowing that you can run how you can run.
That is awesome. I hope my coach listens to this podcast, because that was definitely not always the case. And I definitely used to race Ironman, hoping to come out early, you know, early in the swim, and I just spent the run getting past. So it's been a lot of hard work, but where I'm at now is a little bit more confident that I can stay in the game and that I have a run that's, you know, worthy of being competitive.
Because there is, let's be honest, there's nothing worse than getting off the bike in a great position and just feel like you're going backwards with everyone passing you. But I'm just looking at your Kona 2015 splits, and I mean, a 3:49 marathon there. You came off the bike 12th in your age group. You finished 10th, so you made up two spots in the age group. That's pretty solid going.
Well, thanks. It was okay. I ran a 3:32 in July, so that's good to know. That's some solid 17-minute improvement. I'll take that. I think this year will be faster.
I'm sure. I like it. What have you done differently that's given you those sort of improvements this year?
What have I done differently? You know, after last year in Kona, I sat down with Jasper Blake, my coach, and we said that if I wanted to be competitive, I needed to learn how to run. And, he looked at my run time and was like, you know, that's not quite acceptable. So I took some time off. I took it down, an off season. And when I came back, my focus was running. And so from the middle of November onward, I had a really big run focus. And I had some early season run races in February, March, and April of this year. And the secret has definitely been consistency. It's not that it's about huge volume or, really fast runs. It's about very consistent running, 6 days a week, week over week. And each run has a purpose, has an intention. And I feel very, very lucky, Brad, because I really feel like my work on learning how to become a stronger runner is paying off this year.
I love hearing that. I know a lot of people, it's not sexy. It's not something that people really want to hear, but consistency pops up time and time again. Nothing trumps consistency.
Nothing. I always say consistency is sexy, because if you can do the same thing over and over again, I mean, what's sexier than that?
Steph, as far as workouts and that go, you mentioned making them all count, and everything has a specific goal. What sort of stuff are you loving doing as far as the run goes at the moment?
Yeah, I would say I have two favorite runs, and, hardly a surprise, they're consistently in my schedule. I do one track session a week, and it's usually some combination or permutation of 800s. And that's a session I always look forward to, and I'm usually even a little bit nervous beforehand. So track sessions have definitely made a difference. And then one thing that Jasper does on my long runs that I really love, I always look forward to these, are a 4-minute effort at race pace and 1 minute, significantly faster than race pace. And then he might increase that. So I might run 4 minutes, faster than race pace, and then 1 minute much faster than that. And so it just keeps your long runs so intentional and so on point. And obviously, as you keep injecting those high intensity minutes, you're just generating more fatigue in your leg and pushing through to, really run right at race pace again. So we call them 4-in-1s, and I'll repeat that, for 60 minutes at a time, and then, do some cruise efforts and maybe repeat that again for another, you know, 30 to 60 minutes. And it makes the long run feel very intentional.
Brilliant. Your brother, Matt's a yogi. How much do you do any sort of yoga or other strength and conditioning sort of stuff that you feel helps your, not just your run, but all three disciplines?
Yeah, I would say there is a direct correlation between the frequency I attend my brother's yoga class and my ability to run. You know, admittedly, I had the excuse that I was swim bike running so much, there was no time for anything else. And this year, my man and I actually work with a personal trainer twice a week at the gym. And I think having a committed strength training practice or program has really made a difference. And I think it shows mostly in my bike fitness and my run. So being at the gym definitely helps. And my brother is a remarkable yoga teacher, and he is, I mean, he's a remarkable human being, and he just happens to lead remarkable yoga classes as well. And so I really try to get to his class at least once a week, and I feel like a different human when I do. So, yes.
Awesome. Well, Steph, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to chatting a little bit about your nutrition strategy and how you approach that side of the sport, but we'll save that for another day. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Run like the wind. Our next free online running seminar is happening soon. Sign up now on theKonaEdge.com/running seminar.